Hello everyone. We are going to start with chapter 15, recent trends and practices in HRM. The world has changed globally. Everywhere there is changes, there are new normals in place. Things are getting slowly getting back to normal now. We are seeing a lot of changes which has completely stormed across industries, and HR being one of the departments which leads change definitely has gone through a leaps and bounds in terms of changes. So let's see what are the recent trends and practices that are used in HRM now. So after, let me share the learning objectives here. Post completion of your training, of the training session, you should be able to understand the current business trends that are affecting the human resource development and the human resource management. The trends that are then trends in HRM, there are different trends that are going across different organizations, different sectors, different industries. The specific function-wise trends in a human resources, organization-wide, and then also the trends which is more function-wise. The human resource technology trends, what are the different technologies that are getting used, they're getting introduced in the organizations one after the other. And the implications of the various trends for HR professionals. Now that all these trends are developing, what are the things, what are the initiatives, what are the changes that we as HR resources have to make in ourselves? The various trends and practices which the HR function adopts at organization levels are primarily driven by the ongoing global trends. So all of us actually go through these kind of changes which are happening globally. We keep putting the analytics around, and we keep on picking up the best practices from the industries, from across markets, and then we kind of try and align with those. So the increasing globalization and interdependence of the world economy, ongoing explosion of technology in the form of mobile, social, and closed computing, diverse multi-generational workforce on the rise, change in the business focus, the rise of artificial intelligence, which is happening, which is impacting every day in and day out now. Artificial intelligence has brought in a lot of changes in the human resource management. The virtual mode of working has changed the HR trends completely. In some cases, HR has completely become the need of the organization, whereas in some, it has become just as a good to have department in the organization. Okay, so we really have changed our need over a period of time, especially in this last 2 years. The increased globalization and interdependence of the world economy has led to the world economies are increasingly becoming boundaryless. All of the organizations are becoming the whole world. In fact, if you see, even in the Indian context, if we look at it also, even the jurisdiction, the regulatory boundaries, everything is becoming so much boundaryless. Gone are those days where we had too many bureaucracies. There are, but then substantially reduced compared to earlier. With the share of developing economies in the world GDP tremendously increasing, and we are constantly moving towards boundaryless organizations. Most of the startups which have recently evolved, they have actually gone through complete limitless and boundaryless organizations. They do not have too many hierarchies. They do not have too much of processes involved. They just focus on the needs of the customer and to the world, and adapt it to as per the environment requirement. So ongoing explosion of technology in the form of mobile, social learning, social media, and the cloud computing has changed the whole world. Okay, with number of mobile users increasing nowadays, even the person who's in the most interior part of the villages also has got a mobile phone, because ultimately if he has to educate his child, he has to bring in a smartphone home and his has to allow him to undergo his studies there, complete his academics there, right? So everybody is a mobile user now. And there has been a diverse multi-generational workforce on the rise now. There are different people working for different purposes. With globalization now, people of different countries are constantly interacting with each other, whether it is through Zoom, whether it is through Microsoft teams, whether it is through any virtual or online mode of communicating. So the across world is becoming flatter and flatter. So hence, it's becoming more diverse in nature, more multi-generational in nature when you talk about the workforce. Okay, and we depend a lot, since we are working together. A resource who is in the Silicon Valley, Bangalore, is highly dependent on the one who's sitting somewhere in a remote location of Europe, because they both are working together in the same project. Okay, so in spite of the fact that there is a huge change, difference in the time and the geography and everything, they have to have commonalities amongst themselves. They have to have great bonding. They have to interact on a regular basis to be able to depend on each other and achieve the results. The change in the business focus owing to changing social media, social, political, and regulatory global environments. So these are some of the changes which, with corporate social responsibility now becoming very, very common, with conscious capitalism getting caught up by different organizations within the social fabrics. Across the globe, organizations are completely thinning down the boundaries and becoming boundaryless, and they are bridging the gaps between the business issues and the social issues. So they are completely reducing, trying to minimize the gap as much as possible. The rise of AI and its applications in the field of human resource management, how is that impacting? The last, we saw a lot of changes in the HR industry in the last 10 years. If you talk about the last 10 years, we have gone through automation. We have gone through a lot of changes within the HR from the traditional HR to the modern HR today. You see, we have come a long way. The most prominent is the rise of AI, the rise of the impacts of artificial intelligence. So there is a survey by Oracle and Future Workplace. There's a recent survey which was conducted by Oracle and Future Workplace, and they believe that in that survey it was disclosed that most of the HR professionals, human resource professionals, they believed that AI can present us with opportunities for mastering new skills. We can learn a lot of new skills due to the introduction of artificial intelligence, and because of the artificial intelligence, a lot of things are getting automated. We are less dependent on manual implications now. Hence, we have more free time with us, and we are able to expand our roles in the broader spectrum now. And we can think strategically, which is for the organization, which contributes to the organization. So it is all because of the, all thanks to the AI, because of which we are able to get a lot of time for ourselves to upgrade our own skill sets. The virtual mode of working has changed the HR trends completely. Okay, now that we have seen that all of it, we were saying all this while we've been saying that, you know, in this role, working remotely is almost impossible. You message your manager saying that, you know, can I work from home today? I'm not feeling well. Is it okay if I don't travel? I'm unable to take the train and then travel 40 kilometers and come. Instead, to be able to be more productive for the day, should I work from home? The manager immediately shuts down, saying that no, it's not possible. Your role does not qualify for a work from home facility. So please come to the office or take a leave. Right, so this was the traditional response that we have seen over a period of time. But now the virtual mode of working has completely changed those trends. Due to the recent global pandemic that we had, it has altered the reality of millions and redefined where and how work happens, okay, and how work gets done. Okay, it does not have to be, you do not have to be physically seeing the person, you do not have to be physically enrolled into a college or a school to be able to complete your education. You can enroll on any university in the world and complete your education. So the world has overall become very flat. From government mandated lockdown to your company shifting to a full-time work from home model, wherever possible, the way work gets done has changed drastically. Even manufacturing setups have successfully worked remotely in this situation. So what they did is that I had one client whom I was working very closely in Pune, and they have created a facility to, because obviously factories cannot run without manual hands. So what they did is that, and then the people couldn't travel. There were no conveyances available. They all traveled by company, you know, factory operated buses, and the buses were not allowed to operate on the roads, and they did not fall under the essential categories. So hence what they did is they created a facility to stay put those critical shop floor employees. They created a facility to give them food, lunch, dinner, everything there itself, the entire refreshment, everything, your bathing facility, lodging facility, everything was created over there, and people and the factory continued to operate with those 10-15 employees. They maintained all the social distances and they created a facility in-house so that the people are conveniently working because it has, so otherwise the company would have shut down. Okay, so those are some of the examples that I can share how it has changed the whole how work gets done. It has also changed the HR trends, by the way. It has changed the HR trends a lot in a very, very wide context. The virtual mode of working has changed the HR trends in terms of, in the future, this will continue to drive transformation, okay? And it's not the end. The changes have not come to an end. The changes are constantly evolving, and we'll see further more new trends as well, which are going to shape up our future of work. Now that we can see that, the listed here are 10 key trends that are shaping the look of current HR departments. Okay, so these are some of the list of trends that are evolving and changing the whole look and feel of the HR department. The first thing that it is, as we talk about today, hiring, rehiring is becoming extremely, extremely high on cost. Because we cannot lose out on time now that we are slowly catching up with the whole, the world is catching up slowly and steadily with the new normal. We cannot afford to lose the existing employees and spend time on, training, retraining and all of that. So hence, the priority of any organization right now is a talent management. So talent management has gained a lot of importance, which was slightly towards the backseat earlier, now has taken the topmost and the front seat. HR technology gaining significance, significantly prominent. It is becoming the need of the hour stuff that you have to have. You have to have new technologies in place. You have to have analytics around, and analytics are completely gaining the importance. Of course, it was in the last few years, but in the last 2 years, we have seen the need even more strongly. Diversity, every organization is striving to have diversity in place. What do you mean by diversity? Having, the whole concept of having inclusivity. You have male, female gender maintained. You have people with difficulties and challenges involved in your organization. So diversity is becoming very, very prevalent and becoming a business need now. It's no longer a need to have, earlier it was looked at like a mandate to have one person, at least 30, 40, or 60, 40, or maybe an 80-20 ratio in a manufacturing setup. It was not more than 20% of women. But now it is becoming a mandate. It's become a business need to have women also equally in the business. Future leadership development is the key focus. Future leadership, as we mentioned, as I spoke about it in the last chapter on building pipelines, in the chapter 13, we have spoken a lot about that. So here it talks about building the developing the high potentials and enabling them to take on additional responsibilities for the future. And we are putting a stop to the future leader hiring. We are in fact grooming the leaders from within. Demand for business focused and enterprising workforce. So every employee is expected to have an entrepreneurial mindset as one of the competencies, key competencies in today's date, so that you are able to show more accountability. Strategic HRM becoming ever more significant. Okay, so HR is no longer just a recruitment drive, no longer just a department who enables PF, ESIs and salaries and all of that. HR is looked at from the perspective of a strategic contributor now. Increasing drive and focus on succession planning to grow the leadership pipeline. Okay, so increasing demand on that. Outsourcing the HR function is on the rise. Lot of organizations, as I said, lot of organizations have made HR so redundant that if they did not change, they did not look at it, so they outsourced it completely to an external partner. Increasing emphasis on building shared organizational values and culture. So this we have been talking about. We have spoken in the earlier chapters also in the chapter 10, 11, how much culture plays an importance to build common shared organizational cultures and values. So in the more emphasis you build on shared culture and organizational values, stronger the leaders would be of the organization, the more loyalty would be formed and everybody will speak the same language. So let's deep dive into each of these initiatives, each of these practices, recent trends and practices that we talked about. So if you talk about talent management is becoming, across the globe, it is becoming the top priority now. The new frontier of talent that we have now with the talent war that is going on, prompted by the crisis, the global pandemic crisis, it will help you hone and empower yourself with the tools that you need to gain the skills rather than the organization simply attracting the top talent from outside the organization to fill the vacancies. Organizations are not moving towards hiring people from, paying huge amount of salaries and attracting the top talent. Gone are those days. Organizations are trying, and hence the efforts, lot of efforts and lot of initiatives are towards developing the specialists within. Okay, hence talent management is the key department to be able to drive this. Okay, a KPMG report found that the CEO's view on the talent management is talent risk is the top threat to growth, and it is because of the pandemic, no doubt about it. And building skills and critical competencies is the need of the hour, is the top priority for 2021-22 now. Okay, for 68% of HR leaders, according to Gartner, has mentioned that this is what they are going to work on. And CEOs actually look at it, talent scarcity, talent risk is the greatest threat to any organization. The main aim, HR technology now. Now, the second one that we spoke of out of the 10 list, the most common trends that we spoke about is your the HR tech, which is gaining significant importance over a period of time now. The main aim of all the HR function is to simplify it. Ultimately, HR is a partner in crime, basically, for all employees. So HR has to bridge the gap between the employee and the state-of-the-art policies and practices that you would have. Okay, so HR enables them to be able to live those policies and practices. So hence, the aim of HR function is to simplify the processes. While adopting sophisticated technologies, the attempt should be made the technology user-friendly rather than just a great experience. Okay, so everybody likes to work, like to have an experience of working under Salesforce or working on SuccessFactors. It's an added benefit to be able to work on the technology, HR technology, and people look forward for it. But then if it's investing too much of time and it is so complicated and difficult to use, ultimately it's you're spending hell amount of time on just training on the software, it is of no use. So hence, no matter how sophisticated the tool is, unless and until it is user-friendly, it's of no use. With the new age workforce, fixed office locations again is changing with people now. Working from home has become more prevalent. Working from cafes, now new startups I have seen, they work from cafe, 100% working from cafe, but now cafes are shut. So people are working now in a common location, like for example, in somebody's home. And things like that, or maybe in co-work spaces, those kind of, maybe the rest of the time they are working from home. Whenever they need to huddle together, they probably are forming small groups and meeting in a common location, but not necessarily have to be together in an office. Okay, so that whole concept, it's just about suiting their own conveniences, nothing else. For the convenience, you just huddle up together because you cannot do it because it's too much of technology, too much of airspace that you are investing. So hence, you probably would come to a location and you do. It's and only for the mere convenience, not for any other reason. According to KPMG, 77% of CEOs surveyed will build on their use of collaboration and communication tools in the next some time now, and 67% are more likely to invest in technology. 77% will build on the collaboration, on the use of collaboration tools, communication and collaboration, that so which means the newer technology in terms of platforms, communication tools will be brought in. So 77% CEOs are going to invest on those. 67% are likely to invest in technology, saying that we are going to expedite our whole concept of introducing technology. And then compared to 33% investment in worker skills. Okay, so 33% only are talking about investing in worker skills. Okay, so hence more technology will be over a period of time. So hence usage and adapting to a new technology is much more need than developing your worker skills in today's state. In the last 2 years, we have seen HR analytics have gained significant importance, and HR analytics or talent analytics is basically the application of sophisticated data mining and business analytics techniques to human resource data to improve employee performance and getting a better return on investment. So analytics, if you rightly recall, it's a lot of people have myths around analytics. So when you hear the term analytics, you think it is number crunching. It is actually not so number crunching. It is more to do with the logic. It is more to do to understand with the why behind the figures. So it is more of logic and reasoning rather than number crunching. Okay. So a lot of people, because of the fact that analytics and analysis sounds very similar, that is the reason a lot of people think that analysis is equivalent to analytics. It's actually not. Analysis is what is your number crunching. Okay, and analytics is about reasoning, about the logic behind it, and why is it happening. Okay, so to understand the why, you always use analytics around. Because for that, you do a lot of surveys, you do some metrics, you put some metrics around, you do some tests, all of that you do to find the why. And it is not about the quantity of data churned, it is about the logic that is used to link the metrics to results. So the value being driven from HR analysis is becoming, HR analytics is becoming more and more prominent with the organizations are gaining strong understanding of the big data. So as with the awareness of big data, now organizations are moving very, very strongly towards applications of HR analytics. It wasn't in unless a couple of years ago, but in the last 2 years, we have definitely seen a significant shift. In this, okay, and gone are those days where HR, used to decide basis their intuition and the past success or failure. Now they rely on completely data backed by the analytics. They completely go by the data-driven decisions. The decisions are completely they are not based on any hunch and intuitions anymore. They're completely backed by data and analytics around. So if you have done some, if you decided to, if the organization decided to, you know, create few future leaders from the existing pool that you have, that there has to be data for it, what all they have done in terms of their contribution, in terms of their behavior, in terms of their impact that they have created over a period of time, and backed by analytics, that is it a spike, why did it happen, why could they do it, why have they contributed, is there a just a spike that only because of the seasonal change they must have contributed. No, you have to have the complete data and analytics in place, and then that's when the decision will be taken. It is, as we spoke about, it is also the concept being relatively new. Experimentation in this field is expected to grow many folds now. Okay, and with the emergence of new models every day in and day out, people are going to experiment more. People are going to come up with the new models again and again, try and test it. No foolproof model has been confirmed, as that this is across wide, you know, most prevalent analytics that we have used. So it is going to cover over a period of time. Usage of the analytics will range from developing talent strategy to hypothetical scenarios as well. Okay, so there will be some obviously fixated talent strategies for the organization, and also there would be some you know, some exemplary and some visionary scenarios as well. Now, what do you mean by diversity and virtual team? Now, diversity and virtual teams are becoming a business need, as we mentioned earlier, that they are not because of the situational need, but it is a business need now. More and more organizations are striving for diversity in their workforce. The large emphasis on greater diversity, with increased emphasis on retaining and hiring women across levels. As I mentioned to you earlier, the percentage of women employment is increasing by every day. And managing diversity, millennial workforce with varied technology awareness, they prefer to be independent. They like an environment which calls for an independence. They give them free hand. They give them autonomy to work. They will find merit on. They would want to continue their job and do well there only when they see these kind of options available to them. Paying both genders, and then some of the practices which would be taking top priority in this regard would be paying both genders equally for comparable work. I am not too sure if today, when we speak, that this is happening across. I am not too sure about it. Eliminating barriers to equal opportunity, that if you have any barriers to it, any organization, any past prejudices, that women will not be able to take the pressures in a factory, women will not be able to handle the terrain, things like that. Eliminate all those kind of barriers. Institutionalize work practices after considering diversity needs. So once you considered it, not that you have already work practices in place and then you're thinking of the diversity. First think about, put the diversity in place and then institutionalize it. Say for example, if you do not have you're in a factory and the organization is a manufacturing plant, and you do not have convenience facilities for women. Let's say you do not have optimized facility for sanitation for women employees. You are not ready for it. Okay, so what you need to do is you need to put those in place and then hire. So hence the diversity thought process have to be thought first, and not with the existing premises and with the existing arrangement we can incorporate women employees. Not that thought. So that's not diversity. And the concept of now particularly the needs of younger generation, which are much more dexterous with technology. They prefer to be independent, as we spoke of. They like work at autonomy. They do not like to be asked too much. They want flexible hours. They want to be part of any changes that happens at the org level. They would want to be part of those discussions. They want to be part of change management, all of that. Okay, so these are some of the diversity and virtual teams in incorporation thoughts about, if you want to have diverse and virtual teams around. Senior leaders are working towards role modeling, and they giving them directions to the new generations in the workforce, saying, you know, showing them how to do the stuff and all of that. They work as a role model. They speak the organization's language. The concept and creation of virtual teams that goes along with virtual work will become a huge issue moving into 2020, 2021, 2022. So going ahead, we are going to face a lot of challenges around this. So hence, we need to be ready. We need to be millennial ready as an organization. So as an organization, it has to manifest these needs now, because these are the needs for the future. So on the diversity and virtual teams front itself, Deloitte had done a survey, and they had created this whole, they highlighted this whole concept of super teams, you know, as the way of future. So now, what do you mean by super teams? So super teams are basically the future factors which contributes to the super teams are, it's about creating a culture with growth, adaptability and resilience. So these are the factors that they're going to build in those individuals. Okay, so create a culture that celebrates growth, adaptability and resilience. So enable, so that you're able to face the ambiguity, so that you're able to face the, you're able to deal with the anxieties, you're able to deal with the changes, you're able to deal with the complexities. So enable a capable workforce through upskilling, reskilling and mobility. So these are the things that are expected from a super team. Implementing new technologies in the key to the future. Okay, so these are some of the factors that contribute to successful super teams. Now, future leadership development is the key focus. Why? Why are we talking so much about future leadership? You have seen in the chapter 13, chapter 12, we have been speaking about the leadership pipeline. We have been speaking about building the future leadership. Because leadership crisis has become one of the major hurdle now. And most organizations are facing this now. This has become a crisis. Hence, building leaders from within is increasingly becoming critical for HR. Because what happens is, when you hire a new leader, so this leader is only one who is coming from outside. And what happens is, when he comes inside the organization, he brings in new ideas, he brings his new thoughts and, you know, different thoughts and different, concepts altogether. Okay, so he comes along with a lot of baggage from the previous successes that he had, previous failures that he had, previous teams that he had worked in, the previous organizations that he has been associated with. So he comes and brings in a lot of change. So initially you'll see, so what happens is, the existing team gets a jerk, and if at all they are not adaptable, they will find a lot of difficulty, they'll find a lot of challenge around themselves. So what will happen? Finally, you will see there's a lot of changes again. There's a leadership. So it's a whole concept there. They say that we have gone through leadership change. Then you see the whole top management is changing, because the leader is bringing in new people now. Okay, the people who have started working with the new, under the new leadership, finds it difficult because it does not align with what they have been working with. So there's a lot of change and people are not able to adapt to change. What they do is they resign from the job and take jobs elsewhere, or they take a break. And the new manager brings in his own people. So there's a change which is happening in the organization. By the time it settles, there's again a time of change. So hence, leadership should be built within. If one has left, or if one has succeeded to the next level, the other one should be ready in pipeline, so that we are able to cater to the need. Focus on leadership development arises from the fact that strong leaders drive the mission of the organization and lead to profitable growth. Everybody believes, all organizations believe, that strong leaders will always be able to, be the driving force, and they would be able to be the torch bearers to be able to fulfill the vision mission of the organization, and also will lead to, and that will always lead to profitable growth. Leadership is becoming the core competence that the L&D is focusing on now. And hence, most of the learning and development initiatives are around building leadership, right? From self-leadership to the leadership of business. Okay, so even individual contributors who do not have, teams to lead also goes through leadership on self-leadership. So hence, the leadership aspects which needs greater focus now are the ability to communicate organizational values. How are you able to take the flag forward to be able to take forward the organizational vision? So how are you able to communicate and disseminate the information to further externally or internally? Integrating with employees across levels, taking it to the first person in the organization, and inspiring employees to follow the shared vision. If you're following the shared vision of the organization, you have to get the commitment and the employers, you have to inspire the employee as a leader. You need to inspire their employees to be able to follow your shared vision. Demand for business focused and enterprising workforce. What do you mean by that? With the globalization being on the rise and reaching newer heights every now and then, organizations are constantly hunting for people with entrepreneurial skills. Nowadays, if you look for a job, if you see one of the JDs, if you at all browse the list of jobs, you will see that there itself it gets mentioned somewhere that, you know, we require people with extremely excellent, extremely open-minded or mindedness, or we require people with entrepreneurial skills or thinking out of the box. And these kind of competencies have become more relevant in today's state. HR professionals are hiring managers at middle and the senior management levels with experience to scale business to higher levels. Okay, so they are hiring managers at a middle and senior management level only, because below what they're doing is they're working with the pipeline. And when you scout for employees, you scout for these skills, very clearly articulated skills. We are looking at people with entrepreneurial skills so that we bring in more accountability to the organization. So everybody is accountable for what they're doing. Demand for business focused and enterprising workforce continues. Now here the HR needs to focus on skilling and reskilling, as we have been speaking about, and considering the change and the volatility in the market, the employees are constantly showing an inclination to learn. They want to learn new things, adapt to the new technologies around. They want to grow along with the organization. They want to grow along with the business, and are being preferred over those who prefers the status quo. So employees who are showing inclination towards learning new things, new stuff, and are willing to grow with the business, does not look at only immediately what I'm getting, what is my designation, who's not so much bothered about status quo, are the employees which are being preferred by the organizations in today's state. Thank you.